The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
그럼 오늘 함께 해주신 에픽하이에게 다시 한번 큰 박수 부탁드리겠습니다.
Yeah! Epica, baby.
2009 was a very good year for Tableau. Epic High was at the height of their fame. They've been collecting top music awards in Korea and had just been named Best Hip Hop Artist. They were five albums deep by this point, and they'd helped establish Korean hip hop as a legit genre. They'd also started collaborating with major artists. They were music A-list in Korea.
Spit a flow, man. Spit a flow.
You spit a drunken flow?
Tableau had also released a best-selling book of short stories that had been published in both Korean and English. He was a regular on TV, and he was getting cameos in movies. This guy was a multi-hyphenate.
I'm killing the mic and I'm popping ear blockage. I've been doing this since college. I'm presidential when I flow. Yo, it ain't hard to tell. I Barack the show Obama said.
Making his star that much brighter was the fact that he'd recently started dating Hae Jung Kang, one of the most famous actresses in Korea, and who was internationally famous after starring in the film Old Boy. That fall of 2009, they got married. And of course, the paparazzi were there. And then, about 6 months later, a post went up online demanding that Tableau tell the truth. The haters had arrived. From Vice and iHeart, I'm Dexter Thomas, and this is Authentic. Episode 2, Taijin Yo. In the fall of 2009, Epic High was coming off their first tour of the States, promoting their newest album, Map the Soul, and it was a massive success. They also had a performance scheduled in Seoul at Olympic Park. Tableau had seen this stadium on TV as a kid, and now he was going to perform there. An article about the upcoming performance went up on a news website. People were cheering them on, except for one paragraph buried deep in the comment section. It was titled, Tableau's Diploma Forgery. Someone with the username What Becomes wrote,
"Once you are caught by me, you cannot get out of it. Turn yourself in, bastard. Your bro and sis were also screwed. You guys who couldn't integrate into the Canadian community and were kicked out of middle school, came back to South Korea and lied that you graduated from American universities? How dare you? People who really studied at those privileged schools don't live like you. You low life. Use your brain before lying."
Like the billions of anonymous posts across the internet, this comment was lost to a sea of digital chatter, which in South Korea was rapidly expanding.
I want to talk to you about this exciting thing I've discovered. I want to talk to you now about the internet.
In the early to mid-2000s in America, the internet wasn't really a big part of most people's daily lives. If you wanted to find something, it was still a toss-up between Google and Alta Vista.
I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to stand up and be one of the first guys to say it. I think this is a keeper. I think this thing is here to say,
Johnny bit me.
What would you like for breakfast, Johnny?
Muffins! How did it go?
Real life.
Facebook had just launched in 2004, and it wasn't that widely used yet.
What is the Facebook exactly?
It's an online directory that connects people.
Johnny, that really hurt!
We were still in the really early days of gathering online.
Where's the chipstick? Where's the chipstick?
But the internet in America was a good generation behind what was already happening in Korea.
Korea's a highly wired country.
Haejin Lee spends a lot of time thinking about this stuff. She teaches communications at the University of Southern California.
And people have been using internet. There used to be called PC telecommunications, like back in the 90s. You can think of it as like AOL.
You've got mail.
Technology was moving fast there. And I mean that literally. The internet in South Korea was, and still is, faster than almost anywhere else in the world. And in the late 90s, a lot of new tech companies were popping up. One of them was called Naver, and it became incredibly central to the way that Koreans live now. Naver is kind of like Google mixed with Facebook, meaning it's a lot of things. It's got a messenger app, a car navigation app, a search engine, and a shopping platform. But maybe most importantly in those days, Naver was also the home base for a bunch of online communities.
And that's when like people started to actually use these virtual communities, and they would use the space to communicate with one another, but also to communicate with the celebrity that the site was created for.
Anyone on Naver can start a forum, or as they call it on Naver, a cafe. They launched the feature in 2003, and you can think of it kind of like a subreddit. But for context, Reddit didn't start until 2005. Korean people started using these cafes to build community fan bases for all kinds of things, from music to sports to politics. And that pretty quickly ended up having real-life impact on the outside world. Cafes were immediately a natural place for K-pop fans. High-speed internet connections meant that they could not only find things like concert reviews and pictures and gossip that wasn't in the magazines, but they could also find other like-minded fans. It provided a place for community. It also provided a place for things to get intense. Modern fandom in Korea is pretty intricately tied to the development of the internet and sites like Naver. And it's developed some slang terms for phenomena that have happened there. On one end, you've got suseong, which is a fan that crosses the line from stan into a borderline criminal obsession. On the other extreme is the anti-fan, which is exactly what it sounds like. People who have the same energy and passion of a diehard K-pop stan, but they're dedicated to hating a particular celebrity and their fans. But in the early days, Tablo wasn't even worth an anti-fan's time. Neither he nor Epic High were popular enough. So when people started posting about Tablo, they had to dig pretty deep to find old videos. This clip is from Tablo's first TV appearance on a talk show called Yashim Manman. It was December 2004. Epic High had just released their second album, and basically no one really knew who they were. This appearance was a big deal for Tablo, because Yashim Manman was one of the most popular shows in Korea at the time. But if you watch it, you can tell that Tablo's feeling kind of out of place. Pretty much everyone on that stage is an actual famous celebrity. And, you know, they have that aura. You can tell through the language barrier that this person's got it. Tablo, though, he's wearing this nerdy blue V-neck sweater. He's got a button-up and a tie. And most of the time, he's pretty quiet. It's not until about 14 minutes into the show that Tablo actually gets to say much of anything. Someone had brought up the topic of affairs and cheating on your spouse. Tablo wasn't married, but he kind of gingerly starts to chime in.
근데 제가 사귀던 여자가 바람핀 적은 있는데
Tablo starts telling this story about how one day he found out his girlfriend had been cheating on him. So he confronts her, but instead of yelling at her, he just sort of matter-of-factly says that she shouldn't go out with somebody that she doesn't truly love. And as he's talking, the crowd and the hosts, they're drawn in. They're hanging on to every word. And he continues the story saying that his girlfriend agreed with him, that you should only go out with someone you truly love. So she dumped him and started dating the other guy. And the crowd absolutely just erupts with laughter.
자기가 이제 제 말을 들으니까 그게 말이 된대요. 그래서 자기도 이제 사랑하는 사람만 사귀겠대요. 그 다음 날부터 연락을 안 받는 거예요.
It wasn't anything interesting, but honestly, I think the fact that it was mentioned during the show that I had gone to Stanford, that I had graduated early from Stanford, that I was possibly a genius, and you know, I played into it, of course. That one show aired and I walked outside and people were like following me and stuff. Overnight, everybody was trying to find out who I was.
Tablo was just good on TV. His persona kind of had something for everyone. Parents liked the Stanford pedigree because that was a good example for the kids. Teenagers liked the rebellious rapper attitude. And TV producers, they loved having this guy who could hit both of those demographics in one package. The oddball, genius, rapper.
All this just, you know, was a nice package, and it definitely worked in our favor.
Once Tablo's label realized this, they started to send him and the rest of Epic High on as many TV shows as possible ahead of the third album release in 2005. This album was actually meant to be their Hail Mary. If this didn't give them a hit, they were gonna give up. And really, the signs were pointing to it not working. The TV appearances were nice, but that didn't change the fact that Epic High was an underground hip-hop group whose two other albums didn't really sell.
The fact that we weren't making any money was really difficult. It had been a while, right? 2002 to 2004-5, and we're still like, we're literally poor. And I'm like, we can't do that forever. This was supposed to be our final, like, album and we're done. So let's just make the music like, let's just do everything we wanted. Hence, the third album is called Swan Songs.
So the album came out and that Hail Mary they put up, it connected. The main single was called Fly and it was an absolute hit.
We dropped the album and immediately went to number one on every chart.
Their earlier music was more raw, underground, college backpacker style hip hop. Fly is none of that. It's catchy, it's slick, and it was exactly what the market was looking for. Epic High went from a niche group that only had underground clout on hobbyist message boards to the center of the mainstream, which meant more press, more interviews, and more TV. Tableau's on-camera personality was that enticing dichotomy that TV loves. The genius bad boy. The Stanford grad who ditched being a lawyer to do hip-hop. The concept itself was provocative, and his carefree vibe just played that up. But provocative can kind of be a double-edged sword, especially on Korean TV.
And actually, his image on TV was, I should not say that it is not great, but really different.
Gyutak Lee is a professor at George Mason University, where he teaches about the Korean music industry. He's a huge hip-hop fan. He was an early Epic High fan back in the day, and every now and again, he'd go to their concerts.
I remember that the Epic High gave a kind of brochure before the show talking about Karl Marx, capitalism, and criticism about the neoliberalism or something.
Epic High had been outspoken about politics and society since their debut record. Tableau in particular saw his lyrics as a way to talk about what was going on in the world, which is what people expect from a hip-hop record. But it wasn't what people expected on primetime Korean TV.
When he appeared on variety shows or the sitcom, he didn't seem to be really serious.
And Tableau, when he made appearances on all these entertainment shows, a lot of focus would be on his experience studying. He wasn't really, like the Koreans would expect, story of hardship.
Haejin Lee of University of Southern California again.
Like, oh, I worked hard. Like, I had less than 4 hours sleep every day preparing for exams. That wasn't the story that Tableau was offering.
Pretty often, when Tableau would be on TV, someone would ask him what life was like in an American university. On one of those shows, the host said that he'd heard that at Harvard, people would go running naked after exams. Tableau said, yeah, that happens at Stanford too. He goes on to say that along with studying, this is all a normal part of American college life, which is true. It just wasn't the sort of serious conversation that people were used to hearing from a graduate of a prestigious university on Korean TV. And then there was the fact that Tableau had never done the mandatory military service that nearly all South Korean men under 28 are required to do.
So he's exempt from it because he is a Canadian citizen. So he has all these qualities that are considered to be a sign of privilege in Korea. And the thing is, he's using that privilege to evade responsibility as a Korean citizen. Or at least that's, you know, how Korean people were taking it.
Above the surface, these questions or doubts didn't really affect Epic High's mainstream success. But there was always an undercurrent. For some people, Tableau came off as too untraditional.
He talked about how he got kicked out of school because he was caught in a fight, or how he almost failed. He had a lot of stories that kind of went against stories of people who went to good universities.
After that hit album, Swan Songs, came out in 2005, Tableau started to slow down with the TV stuff. He'd accomplished his mission, which was to get his foot in the door with the Korean public. Now, he wanted to get back to his real focus, the music.
You know, I had gotten sick of being on TV.
Yeah.
I was overworked. I was taking, painkillers to be on TV at this point. But I knew, I was like, okay, now I can make my own decisions.
Epic High spent the next few years making music and playing shows in Korea, in Japan. They did their first U.S. tour in the spring of 2009, and they sold out venues in New York and L.A., promoting their first release under their own label. Then that fall, DJ Two Cuts had to report for his mandatory two-year military service. This left Mithra and Tableau to finish their seventh studio album. Soon after that, Mithra also had to leave for his own military service.
In the midst of all that, I think is when I first heard from my label that they had received a manila envelope with a bunch of documents with conspiracy theories kind of about me. Basically a PR packet for why I'm a fraud.
Wow.
But, you know, my mind was on, like, having a child, you know, and becoming a dad. While I was busy watching The Simpsons, eating cheese balls with my wife, this had circulated to the point where it was already agreed upon that it was probably true.
That's after the break.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Like normal people do, I fell in love and I was getting married and I was going to have a kid. And then time passes and my daughter is born and I'm at the hospital and it's like an indescribable awe and confusion, like that I've created a living being, and like I'm holding, it's just an emotion that I can't really describe. And we're at the hospital for about a day or two, and you know, I took a picture of, I think, my daughter's like foot or hand, and Twitter was like slowly a thing now.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, you have to share everything, right?
Of course.
So Twitter. Especially the first, you know, the birth of your first kid. So I posted the picture and I was like, I just had my daughter, my wife is safe, thank God, and stuff like this. And I posted it. And then some mentions are coming in and I'm looking and some of them are like, congrats, but a lot of them are like, why don't you fucking explain yourself? And some of them are outright like, just die. What about your lies? And my wife is like right next to me. I'm like visibly shocked.
And she can see your face.
Yeah, and she's like, "What's going? What are people saying?" Right. Yeah. But I was like, just give me a second here. I have to just give me a second." And I try to figure out what was going on. I explained to my wife as best as I could, but I didn't want to like stress her out in this situation. So I said, "Oh yeah, just." Yeah, they're congratulating us, but I think like people are spreading rumors about me. It was a thing now.
What had started as a wayward post on an article comment section in the fall of 2009 had quietly spread. In May of 2010, a new neighbor cafe forum was created. It had a catchy name, Tajinyo.
So 타진요 means, or 타진요에게 진실을 요구합니다, which means we demand truth from Tableau.
The founder of the forum stated that it was, quote, dedicated to uncovering the truth about Tableau. He started posting videos from old TV interviews, documents, and anything he could find to back up his claims that Tableau was lying. The initial motivations of the forum are a little murky. Some people argue that it started with anti-fans, people who were just interested in seeing Tableau fall. But members of the forum would insist that it was always about the pursuit of truth, that they knew that Tableau was lying about his degree, and they wanted the lying to stop.
At first I thought it was just bizarre, like, you know, why would this be a big deal?
Within a matter of weeks, Taijinyo was getting hundreds of comments a day. Users were sharing articles and videos. They also started looking into anything or anyone that could have a connection to Tableau at Stanford.
After a while, what I do remember is people kept asking, hey, didn't you go to Stanford? Do you know about this whole Tableau situation?
At the time, Sean Lim was working as a journalist for one of Korea's biggest broadcasting companies. Sean was a year ahead of Tableau when they met at Stanford.
What was your relationship like with him? You two personally?
It was, for a while, sort of like brothers.
Really?
Yeah, close. I felt like I was really close with him. Like, there was a period, like, maybe about, I would say, 2 quarters that we were, like, always together, like, especially, like, we were in the same dorm, like, seeing each other, like, practically every day.
They went different ways after college. Sean stayed in the U.S. for a couple years before moving to Korea and pursuing broadcast journalism. But they still kept in contact. Sean was proud of his college buddy, but he didn't brag about it or anything, so he didn't have much occasion to talk about Tableau with strangers. But then the rumors started getting bigger, and he found himself in some weird conversations.
So somebody would ask you, hey, was Tableau there when you were there?
I'm like, yes, of course. They're like, really? Are you sure? And then it increasingly came from people who are like producers.
Mm.
Like people who were like, I'm supposed to like not have an attitude with, not think that they're stupid.
Right.
I have to work with, have to trust their news judgment. So people were like, just like ravenous, like zombies, just trying to like, ugh, like suck the blood.
As the forum grew, individual users started getting a sort of celebrity status within the group. One of them was a user posting under the name What Becomes. What Becomes posted a lot, often multiple times a day, and they were pretty forceful. On May 16th, 2010, What Becomes wrote,
just get the transcript from Stanford and show it to us. Instead of saying I have a friend who can confirm that I did study at Stanford, why can't you just show us the transcript? This will all be over if you show us just one document. Turn yourself into the police and say that you forged diplomas. You bastard. South Korea is not your playground where you just come in and prey on others.
It seemed like there were new allegations every day. That original statement that Tableau was lying about his college degree turned into deeper accusations about identity theft, fraud, and conspiracy. That Tableau, whose real name was Daniel Lee, had stolen the identity of a real Stanford graduate who was also named Daniel Lee. Or maybe he didn't steal it. Maybe he paid the real Daniel Lee off to keep quiet. Or maybe he killed Daniel and took his diploma, and he was able to get away with this because he was being protected by the media and the Korean government. Or maybe it was the American government. Maybe the FBI and also Korean elites had something to hide, and they were protecting their own. But the one thing that everyone continued to question was his degree. Could Tableau really have graduated from Stanford with a bachelor's and a master's in just 3.5 years? Tae Jin-yo wasn't just commenting. They were also doing their own research. Their efforts weren't very coordinated, especially not at first. Some people didn't go much further than just copying and pasting stuff they'd heard elsewhere. But there were others who were much more focused. They were searching and gathering documents. Then one day, they got their hands on what they believed was a smoking gun. Tableau's supposed diploma. When Tableau started going on TV, talk shows liked to show a picture of his diploma on the screen. It was already out there, so it wasn't too hard to find an image of that online. But then, a Tae Jin-yo member found a diploma from another Stanford student, and the signature from the university president on that student's diploma looked completely different from the one on Tableau's. The Tae Jin-yo message boards blew up. This was huge. They needed to find someone who had graduated in 2001. If that signature looked different, they could prove that Tableau's diploma was fake and that Tableau was a liar. Hey, John, this is Dexter from Vice.
Great, are you downstairs?
I am downstairs.
I'll come get you.
Okay.
John Schenck is a lawyer. He graduated from Stanford with a bachelor's degree in English in 2001, the year before Tableau. I met him in Los Angeles last fall.
I started getting phone calls from somebody. You know, he asked me what my name was.
About 10 years ago, John was in his office, and
I told him I was John Schenck, you know, and he said he was part of a group, and he was hoping to get a copy of my diploma, and I would just hang up. And I'm just like, who is this weirdo?
He got another call, then another. And each time, John would say the same thing.
Look, I'm hanging up now. Please stop calling me.
But after yet another call, John was just about to hang up. And then the guy said, wait.
We'll pay you $10,000. So I went, okay, let's hear some more.
$10,000. That's how much the person on the phone was offering John to make a copy of his Stanford diploma.
And then I started asking him, okay, you're going to pay me $10,000. And then it's mine. And that you don't want me to give you any money or hold any money or do anything.
John, again, is a lawyer, and he's seen all kinds of scams, so he was skeptical. But the guy on the phone assured John that this was not a scam, and he was a real person.
This movement that he was part of to basically capture Tableau in a lie was just a side gig for him. He was a musician. He was a real person. And he's like, and he told me, he's like, you know, I live in Beverly Hills. If you want, we can meet at the park, because there's a little park next to the Montage.
Right.
And I was like, okay, sure. That'll be a great way to check him out, see if he's for real.
So on the day of their appointment, John shows up to the park. He's a little apprehensive. But when the man from the phone call shows up, he seems pretty normal.
He seemed very honest. He seemed very sincere about his cause. It seemed important to him.
And so what specifically does he ask you for at that moment?
He didn't really ask me for much other than he's been saying from the beginning he'd like a copy of my diploma so they can prove that Tableau faked his diploma.
Okay.
Right. And so I kind of was like, all right, you want a copy of my diploma? I'll give you a copy of my diploma. There's nothing wrong with that, right? So then I went back to my law firm and talked to every friend, every colleague in there to see if anybody could come up with an explanation of how this could possibly be a scam that I was, inadvertently walking into, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody could really come up with anything. Everyone's like, no, seems like they're just going to give you some money. You should take it.
He had one hang up, though. They all seemed really fixated on this Tableau guy's document. John, being a lawyer, figured that he ought to have a look at the paperwork too. So before he decided to go through with it, John asked the musician to give him whatever copy of Tableau's diploma that they had. So the guy gave it to him.
And I compared it to my diploma, and the signatures matched.
The signature of the president who signs the diploma. That's what they were looking for. Because if the signatures didn't match, they could point to Tableau's diploma and say, see, that's a fake.
I compared them and I said, these are exactly the same signature.
You and Tableau.
Yeah. And so when I called to say, hey, I have my diploma, I compared it to Tableau's and they're the same. Are you still sure you want to do this? And they're like, yes, we do.
Wait.
Yes. Weirder still, right? I was like, this is not good evidence for you. I told them that.
And then they say they want it anyway.
They said, no, don't worry about it. Just come. We'll pay you $10,000.
So John asked another lawyer friend to come with him to do this thing. They drove to an office and they were invited to sit down in a room. The musician was there, along with another couple people who didn't talk much. They got right to business.
He pulled out his trust account checkbook and filled out a check and put it on the table. Said, okay, here's the check. Can I see your diploma? I put my diploma on the table. And then they took it over to the copy machine and made a copy.
But before they gave him the money, they sprung one final thing on him. They wanted him to sign a statement. Nothing major, just a simple question.
They asked me if I had ever seen Tableau on campus, and I said I didn't know him. I made some statement to that effect and signed it. And that was it. That was it. Next morning, as soon as the bank opened, I went to the bank and cashed the check.
It's 10 G's straight up.
10 G. They actually they charged me $5 to give me cash on the spot. And then I walked across the street to Wells Fargo and deposited it in my bank account.
And that was it?
That was it.
What?
My heart was pumping.
John's a responsible dude, so he put the money in his savings. And that was it. It was over. Or so he thought. A little while later, he heard from the musician again.
The musician guy was asking me if I would be willing to go to Seoul and give testimony.
John said, no thanks. I'm done.
But I also thought to myself, you know what? That might be getting too close to this weird conspiracy theory world. And I don't want. And so I kind of shied away from that.
You said you were getting too close to a weird conspiracy theory. Were you sort of already in the headspace where, hey, look.
Yeah, I didn't really want to be associated with this group. You know, it just seemed like they were really holding on to kind of an obviously incorrect perception. Mm-hmm. They were clearly misguided.
John's diploma did not help prove Tableau was lying. The signatures on the diplomas matched. If anything, this was more proof that Tableau was telling the truth. That's not what the Taijino movement wanted to hear. But they had a kind of a failsafe. That document they'd asked John to sign, asking if he'd known Tableau while he was at Stanford. He told him the truth, which was that he didn't. It's not shocking because there were around 2,000 students in John and Tableau's graduating class. But the Taijinyo movement latched onto that statement. John's diploma wasn't helpful to them anymore. But wait, if Tableau went to Stanford, how could John not know him? And they had a signed document saying that he didn't. People on Taijinyo were convinced that this was further proof that Tableau was never even at Stanford, and that he should be punished for his crimes. That crime thing, they were serious about that. Forgery is a criminal offense in Korea. And if Tableau had been giving out a fake document, he could be facing up to 5 years in jail, or a fine of 10 million won, which in US money is a little over $8,000. But that fine wasn't enough for Taijinyo. They wanted him behind bars. Now.
Have you ever had any contact with Tableau?
No, never.
What would you say to him if you two were to talk, do you think?
I'd say, you know, that must have really sucked, that experience for him. He really had a huge portion of his country coming after him,
mm-hmm,
for something he didn't do.
You had a small part in that.
I think I helped him.
Do you?
Yeah.
How so?
I gave the evidence that showed that his diploma was accurate.
Mm-hmm. It has to be so weird to be at all even obliquely involved in such a life-changing thing for somebody.
Yes.
I mean, look, if someone offered me 10 G's to make a photocopy of my diploma, I mean, just a more detailed version of what's already on my resume, I probably would have said yeah. And John was smart enough to pull himself out of this situation before it had a chance to get really weird. He says that for years, this was mostly just a funny story he could tell over drinks at the bar.
The fact that there was obvious evidence that refuted the things that the Taijinyo wanted to prove, and that they weren't interested in that part of it, is, despite that, hey, look, this is bad for you, is sort of mind-bending.
Yes. I mean, if there's anything that we have learned in the past, let's call it 5 years,
mm-hmm,
that evidence does not persuade anybody. You know, I mean, a lot of people apparently can believe a lot of things, regardless of what the obvious facts might be. And this was just an instance of that, that people will believe what they want to believe.
By June of 2010, the rumors were reaching beyond Tableau. His family was now being accused of helping him to forge his diploma. His father was being called a con man, and they were accusing his brother of lying about his own college degree. The Taijinyo Forum now had more than 100,000 members. And if this stuff had stayed on Taijinyo, that would have been one thing. But it spread because the media found this forum fascinating. And so whenever Taijinyo would come up with a new accusation, the media would latch on and it would make headlines. This exposed more new people to the conspiracy theories, and the Taijinyo forums grew and grew. By this point, things were bleeding out into the real world. Tableau's inbox was flooded with emails from people sending pictures of smashed Epic High CDs. His voicemail was full of angry messages and accusations. His TV appearances were getting canceled. Tableau was barely able to leave the house, because anytime he did, people would follow him and stare. He was getting yelled at by random strangers on the street, calling him a liar and a cheat. This was all happening within weeks of that first comment being posted online. Soon after this, there were actual street protests against Tableau popping up all over the city. At first, Tableau hadn't said much. He thought this was just some weird internet stuff that would fizzle out, but it didn't. And to members of Taijinyo, Tableau's silence started to look like evidence that he was lying. But then in June, an article about Tableau came out in the Joongang Daily. This wasn't just some site. It was a respectable media outlet, one of the biggest newspapers in Korea. It was a serious article, but most importantly, it featured a copy of Tablo's full transcript. Before this, all most people had seen was a screenshot of his diploma. This, though, this was the long-form document. The credits he took, the names of the teachers, the grades, and, of course, the Stanford seal. An official, complete document. This was exactly what Tajino had been looking for. And Tablo hadn't just given the newspaper his documents. He did an interview with the reporter.
And honestly, I walked out of the interview, and as soon as the articles were out, like a rational person, I thought it was done. A few hours later, when I learned that that was not going to be the case, that people were not accepting these documents as real. They were saying my diploma was doctored. They were saying the transcript was fake.
It made no difference. And as it turned out, Taijin Yeo was just getting started. Next time on Authentic.
They were trying to attack everybody who was associated with Tablo. And yeah, talk about doxing. They were really good.
You know how people think that, like, you know, like, hey, don't think about the comments. Hey, don't worry about the comments.
Don't read the comments.
Yeah,
actually,
that's not real.
Yeah.
You know, that's detached from reality. All you got to do is turn your computer off, dude. Just unplug, log out, man. And you're fine. I got to say, like, the experience I had, it wasn't detached. You know, people were threatening me online. I tried to turn it off, but in the real world, it still happened. Like, it was connected.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Authentic is a production of Vice Audio and iHeart Podcast Network, produced and reported by Stephanie Karaoke, Minji Koo, Kate Osborne, and myself, with Janet Lee, Stephanie Brown, and Sam Egan. Sound design and original music composition by Kyle Murdoch, with additional support from Natasha Jacobs. Our supervising producer is Janet Lee. Editing from Lacey Roberts. Fact-checking by Minji Koo and Nicole Pasulka. Special thanks to Isne Bobo Noyet for Epic High's original concert footage. This episode features Epic High music from their album Swan Songs and Map the Soul, distributed by CJ Music. Our executive producer and VP of Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. From iHeart Podcast Network, executive producers Nikki Etor and Lindsay Hoffman. I'm Dexter Thomas. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And if you dig it, give us a rating and a review. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Vice News.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.